1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. The temple was built really by David. Solomon was merely the builder. David did all the work of it, even to cutting the stones. But he never did it according to his own pattern. Up in the north of Palestine and the Holy Land has been discovered the temples of Baal, and a big one, and it had a facade remarkably like the temple. But whatever men think, the temple was not built according to Baal's tabernacle. God had a plan, and he wrote it on David's heart and gave him the plan complete. Now, the plan was beyond human understanding. No man living then could see what God was doing. Therefore, the temple points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the true temple, and the church of God, which is also the temple of God, and the people of God, who each one are the temple of God. So it pointed to something that David and the others couldn't understand. Therefore, the pattern of it had to be according to God's measurements, not man's. Man couldn't tell what God was up to. And that is true today. We have very little idea what God is really doing. We have some idea. But we need to follow the pattern today, which we do not understand. And that is why we five are met in this building this morning, because we're following a pattern we do not understand, but are sure is from God. Further, God said he would dwell in the temple. Now, if you're going to have a kitchen and a bathroom and bedrooms and the decor on the walls, people who go into a house are very demanding that these things be exactly according as pleases them. God has a right to build his own building according as he will dwell in it. Therefore, the temple was built according to God's own plan. Further, the temple also is the throne of the great king who dwells in Zion. So, it's not built according to the will of his rebellious and unfaithful subjects. It's built only according to his own will, in his own way. You cannot rebuild the temple in Jerusalem with the stones of Babylon. You cannot rebuild the temple in Jerusalem with whatever you care to put in it. Herod did that, but it was missing the Urim and the Thummim. It was missing the whole of the priesthood's real position, and the ark wasn't the original ark. The fact is that whatever he adorned it with, great and costly stones, you cannot build according to your own pattern. In your own life or anywhere else, the pattern has got to be what God writes on the heart. So Christ writes a pattern for his church, what he wants each living stone to be upon that life. Now, many Christians lack contentment and lack that feeling that they're in the right position. They often feel that they should be elsewhere. That is behind all the movement of women in the church today. There is a great feeling that things are not right unless we put them right. God had a pattern. And if we will abide by that pattern, then the building will grow fitly framed together according to that which every joint supplies. It's a living building. It's a beautiful building. But when we fall to our own pattern, it's a terrible building. Now, we are to expect blessings then on the Church of God. It is the very centre of all our worship and the most living thing that Christians do. What Christians do outside is secondary. Now, I wouldn't say that normally, but it's true. What we do inside here now, our concentration, our love of Christ, the way we get on together, those are the things that really are noted by people outside. If we meet as a disparate group of people who don't really like each other and go our own ways, and who listen as we wish and not, and who do things in the way we wish, well, we will never build the temple of God like that. The temple of God is regular and ordered, and it must be just like this. Even all the works of this pattern. That's what the temple of God is. So, what did God order for David? Well, he gave an order direct to him. I want you to think about this. Who did David consult with to build the temple? Did he consult with Bezalel? Or did he consult with any of the other great builders? Did he consult with Solomon? Did he consult anywhere? David consulted only with God. Now, in your Christian life, if you consult with prayer books and hymn books, if you consult with all the other things there are, with bishops and robes and mitres, you will never, never get far in the Christian life. If you consult with all the commentaries and everything else, that will hinder you, not help you. If you consult with all the saints' days and all the right things to do in the church, according to man, you will never get anywhere. Only you can get somewhere by consulting with God direct. And that's what David did, and that's what Paul did. And he says in Galatians 1:15, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He immediately went and did God's will. Now, is that how you started your Christian life? And is that how you continue it? Continually conferring direct with God. That is the most important thing about Christian living. And if it isn't done, the whole thing is built out of kilter and leans heavily. Be sure of one thing also with that. How did David remember the pattern? He doesn't appear to have had it written down anywhere. He told Solomon the pattern. Now, the only real things you ever learn in life as a Christian are what are written on your heart. They are not written in books. They are not written by other people's mouths or pens or anything else. What God writes in your heart is the sum total of what you know. So you never need ask, is this God's word or not? You know in your heart it is. You know very well that what you hear in a pulpit is secondary. God speaks direct to the heart. And if he doesn't speak direct to the heart, no speaking is done. Now, many, many Christians shut the heart to God and listen with half an ear to man. That is a hopeless way of proceeding. The only way this temple can be built is when we learn direct from God. Now, another thing about this temple, you will note David didn't depend much on the past. He dropped the tabernacle. He didn't consult to look like the tabernacle and be like the tabernacle. He built the temple differently. Now, we are free as Christians, and every single generation has a right to vary the worship of God. It has an absolute right of freedom. We do not seek to hold back that right. We worship God our way, other people do their way. We don't say to them, you're wrong. We don't say to them, well, that you shouldn't be doing. David didn't follow the old pattern. David made a new pattern, a pattern which God showed him. God is not bound to do the same thing. And why? Because God was teaching the Jews that one day the temple would be a man. The temple of the living God would be Jesus. And they had to make a huge adjustment. And you've got to make big adjustments. One day you've got to worship where there is no temple there, because the Lamb is the light thereof and God is in the midst of them. We've got to get used to loosening our bands with the past and opening them to the future which God shows. I do not say the future which men show, because the future which men show is often dreadful and we don't wish to join in with it. Now, the details were shown to David ever so exactly. If you read chapter 28, and I advise you to do so sometimes, especially from verse 11, you'll find God gave David extremely accurate details. Everything, right down to the last bit in it. Now, you are being built a temple unto the Lord. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Therefore, you need to get very, very strict scriptural guidance. Not a general scriptural guidance, nor something worked out half and half, but this way. Further, to build this temple, David had to get down to much minute and self-sacrificing preparation. Now, it may be less sacrifice for a king to give up 100 jewels and 10 tons of gold than it is for an ordinary person to give up 10 pounds. But David sacrificed all the spoil of his wars, all that he received from other kings around as presents, all that he received in gifts and those who had fiefdom under him, he took and gave to the temple. David took, he says, according and gave according to the power of his hand. It was enormous gifts he gave. He cut wrought stone and he did everything else exactly. So he gave, verse 14, you look at it, gold by weight for the gold of all instruments of all manner of service. Silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, and for all instruments of every kind of service. So that's how he did it. Now, it's most important that we give exactly as God tells us. Now, there's more than that to it. Can you see here that God is showing David something which no man can possibly see? God is showing David unseen realities. You see, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and David also. It says, my flesh shall rest in hope. When Peter was speaking in Acts, he also rejoiced to see Jesus' day. God showed David something of Messiah's glory in this temple. And David realized he was building something much bigger than bricks and mortar. He was doing something very much greater in it. So look at verse 18. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubim. You see, none of that was seen by David. He couldn't go into the altar of incense. He certainly couldn't go into the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. God is showing David things. I know the high priest went in once a year, but David never went in. So God showed him a pattern of things which were hidden from men. And in your life, God is showing you a pattern which is completely hidden from men. No other man on earth can know the pattern, and no other man on earth has any other thing like it. You are shown a complete pattern for your life, and God expects you to do it. To him that hath shall be given. Now God also didn't only show him unseen values, but he showed it to him direct. Look, anything you'll learn that you can lay aside and don't have to carry through to today, you've never learned. Anything that lies in books, however well one can speak about it, is no value. In preaching, the same. Anything learned out of other people's books is of little value. It has to become your own. You have to refine and think about it and make it your own. So only what is our own is of any value. And the Spirit of God takes the things of God and reveals them to us. That is very plain in John 16. So then we're dealing in hidden things in making the temple of God. Now, there's something more here. God not only showed David exact details, but, and this is the important point, he made him understand them. And now he understood. Do you know, I think it's the hardest thing in the whole world to make somebody understand something. I'm sure anyone who's been in teaching would agree with that, that to make somebody actually understand a thing is impossible, almost. You can take a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. You cannot get over that little area of understanding. That's what's so important. Now, our preaching, our teaching, our witnessing, our dealing with children, our dealing with the family and everything ought to be plain and simple so that they understand. But ultimately, a human voice cannot teach. A human voice cannot reach into those parts which need to understand. Only the Spirit of God can do it. The Lord made me to understand. You see, look at it in verse 19. And you can see that God actually made David realize what he was talking about. Now, that's most important. Well, how did the Lord do it? He says, in writing by his hand upon me. Now, David didn't have to go upstairs and collect the writing, or go into anywhere in Jerusalem and find the writing. He didn't have to move one inch. God declared it unto him by writing it in his heart. And if we have to run round and seek for the truth, the Bible is quite clear they can run to the ends of the earth and they'll never find it. But when God reveals himself, we don't move an inch. We are simply the passive plank, if you like, or board on which the writing is put, on the fleshly tables of the heart. So then, the most important moment in your day is when you sit down with the Lord alone and he writes his will upon you. Nothing else is much use but writing direct from God. The Bible teaches then what we cannot understand until God's Holy Spirit makes it clear, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, was Paul's prayer. And that is our prayer too, Ephesians 1:18. Now, what was the means of understanding? It goes deeper than just God showing it. Well, God's way of it was his hand upon me. Ezekiel said in chapter 3, verse 14, the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Now, until God's hand is upon the life, we don't understand. God teaches us by our falls into sin, by our accidents, by the things that happen to us, by the evils that come upon us, by the good things that happen to us. God's hand is upon me, upon us, and the Spirit of the Lord is in that hand. So don't refuse any trouble. Don't refuse any distress. Don't refuse any danger. The hand of the Lord is upon thee. And God's hand presses us down. And God's hand is heavy upon us at times, and we feel the weight of his hand. The Philistines, when the ark of God was with them, prayed for the hand of the Lord to be removed from them. And unless you feel like that at times, you won't. You won't ever profit by it. See, Moody said that his great power, and he had great power, he had real power in his words. He said that it came when he was in New York and he was walking in the street. And he said he felt God was speaking to him, and he began to cry out to God to show himself to him. And he said, I received from God a special visitation of his Holy Spirit until I could no longer bear the glory of it. And I had to cry to God to take his hand away from me before I died under the strain. Once God really deals with the life, his hand is heavy like it was in Ezekiel. Now David knew that God's writing was by his hand upon me. That is how God is writing in your heart. But more, God is writing spiritual truths in our heart. Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3? And it says here, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So then, the work of God is done by writing on the fleshly tables of the heart. There is no other way that God's work goes forward. Well, you look at how it all went then. Now, I want to speak to you about this tabernacle. It's very important indeed. In the tabernacle, first of all, God showed Moses the pattern. And Moses made it according to the pattern showed him. The temple was built according to the pattern showed. And we are doing the same thing. But remember this, that God destroys. So that he destroyed the tabernacle. We don't really know where it went. Probably rotted to pieces. He destroyed the first temple by Nebuchadnezzar. The second temple was built by Zerubbabel. And it was a small affair. And Herod greatly enlarged that temple. Well, all its essentials were missing in Herod's temple. And that temple was raised in 70 AD so that both Josephus and the Roman generals and the Jews said there was not one stone left on another. God got rid of the temple. Now, in our lives, God builds and then God breaks down. God builds up a position for us in life and then he smashes it by an illness or something happening in our lives. God is continually killing and making alive, building and breaking down. There is a time, it says, to build and a time to cast away stones. God works like that. So the temple of God is continually more spiritual inside us. So God's way of preparing for a spiritual temple is to break the flesh, to break the outer temple, to break the body, to break the mind, to break all those things we depend on, so that the Spirit may show forth. Just as Gideon's men broke the pitchers and the light showed, so God is breaking the pitcher of our lives so that the true temple may come out. Because the true temple inside us is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have inside us the temple of God. God has put up a scaffolding round it, which is your legs and arms and all about you. And God will take away the scaffolding in order that the temple may show. So that life becomes, from building up, breaking down. And we have to accept that of God. So we're taught that the temple, our temple outside, the shell of it, is no more important. You see, Jesus, in John 1:14, as we're hearing from Brent, tabernacled among us. He was the temple of God. He was God's dwelling place. He was the Shekinah glory of God. In John 14:10, he said, "The Father dwelleth in me." In John 2:19, he said, "Destroy this temple." You'll find all the Gospels record that the Jews understood it and said, "This man said, destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." They knew that he spoke of the temple, but they didn't understand that he spoke of the temple of his body. So then, God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now, that is a thing which is utterly poisonous to the world. And when Stephen said it, they stoned Stephen. And Stephen's face shone, because the temple of God in all its glory burst out of Stephen's face. So that as God destroyed the temple by a hail of bricks and stones on Stephen's head, the whole glory of God shone out of his face. And that is where we're going. This temple of ours is being smashed. And I'm sure that's what's happened to the Church of England. God is smashing the temple that the glory of those who really are his may shine out. I don't see any real hope for the Church of England now. And many, many people I speak to say the same thing, that it's gone beyond the realm of recovery. Their present archbishop and the goings on all over the world have just destroyed it. It's gone. And while we continue as the Church of England, we continue something very different to what's in position today, and have no wish to be part nor lot of it. It's gone. God has destroyed it. And God has building a new temple. Then again, the people, every part here, if you look in this chapter, they're being built. Now, there's just one other thing. Beware. Because in the temple of God sits the one who pretends to be God, the Antichrist. We have to watch that the temple is built according to the pattern, because out of the pattern of man's temple comes the Antichrist, comes every evil thing. The worst things in the world come out of the temple of God. The worst killings of God's people come out of the temple of God. The worst things that ever happen, the worst destructions that come upon God's work, come out of the temple of God. Now, we have got to know the temple of God, and what we know we have to share with others. Amen.